following the example of Jesus, we can endure hardship for the sake of those who will believe as we proclaim the unbound Word of God and rest in our hope in Jesus.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
You know, this past week in the news, we saw an incredible moment in a courtroom. There was a former Dallas police officer, Amber Geiger. She was convicted of murdering her neighbor, Botham Jean, after saying that she had entered his apartment by mistake, thinking that it was her apartment. And so thinking him to be an intruder, she shot and killed him. But following that conviction, then, she was sentenced to prison. And then Botham Jean's family, then, they were permitted to make statements, to make victim impact statements. And then what happened next was an incredible scene that does not happen very often in this world, does it? But there we saw there an incredible scene unfold when Botham's 18-year-old brother, Brant, took the stand. And he said this. He said, "If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want for you. I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you." He then asked the judge if he could give Miss Geiger a hug. The judge thought about it a minute, but then agreed. And it was a powerful moment of love and forgiveness as the judge wiped away tears and sobs could be heard in the courtroom. And shortly afterwards, then, the judge, Tammy Kemp, approached the Jean family, and she offered her condolences, and then she said to them, "Thank you for the way that you modeled Christ." The judge then went to Miss Geiger and gave her a Bible. And they spoke quietly with Geiger in tears, and then Judge Kemp pointed to the Bible and said, "Read this." And Miss Geiger jumped up and hugged the judge. And the judge was heard to say, "Ma'am, it's not because I am good. It's because I believe in Christ. And none of us are worthy. Forgive yourself." So attorneys and bailiffs and journalists wiped away tears as they watched Jean and Geiger hug, and then as they listened to Judge Kemp speak to Miss Geiger, they remarked that they had never seen anything quite like it. But you see, what transpired there happened because of the grace of Christ and because of the power of God's Word. You see, God's Word is living and active. And as Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." As we continue our series today in 2 Timothy, Faithfulness and Hardship, we're looking today about this power of God's Word, that it is an unbound Word. We'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. You know, the prophet Isaiah, by inspiration of the Spirit, says this in Isaiah 55, verse 11. "Here the Lord is speaking, and the Lord says, 'So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it.'" And the truth is you want, no matter the circumstances, God's word cannot be stopped from accomplishing what God intends to do with it. God's word cannot be bound, and it cannot be prevented from accomplishing God's purposes. And no matter the hardships the messenger of God may endure, the message of God's word cannot be stopped. And so then, today we see then that following the example of Jesus, we can endure hardship for the sake of those who will believe as we proclaim the unbound word of God and rest in our hope in Jesus. Before we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, a little context here first. Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy, a young pastor in the faith, encouraging him because there was heavy persecution of the church. Paul is in prison and he knew that his death was near. And so he is urging young Timothy then to stand firm and to be faithful in hardship. And he reminds Timothy then of the example that we have in Christ and how God and His Word will prevail over whatever hardships we must endure. So Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So as we look at the text here today, I want us first to see here the testimony of a bound apostle. Paul the apostle here was literally bound in chains as he was in a prison, a Roman dungeon. And I have to imagine with every move that he made, he could hear those chains rattling. So here he is, a bound apostle, suffering hardship for Christ. And so he says to Timothy, he knows that Timothy himself is facing hardship. And just as Paul was looking to the example of Jesus, he encourages Timothy now to remember Jesus. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. You see, Jesus is our supreme example in every way, isn't he? And here, he was Paul, he was Timothy's, and he was our supreme example in enduring hardship and difficulty for a greater good. Did Jesus endure hardship? Absolutely, didn't he? You know, just first of all, just humbling himself to be made one of us. The Almighty God, Sovereign Lord of the universe, willingly stepping aside from that glory and honor that He was due, willingly putting aside that glory and humbling Himself to be made human. God becoming a man. How humbling is that, right? But He didn't come into this world as a as a great and powerful king and ruler, fully acknowledged as that by every human. No, he came as a humble servant. A humble servant who was obedient even to death. And not just any death, but a death on a cross. The worst way you could die. And it wasn't just enduring the hardship of that humility, of how he was insulted and spat upon, and then endured the physical pain of the crucifixion. It was also then that ultimate suffering or hardship was what? When he was punished or judged for our sin, when he took my punishment and yours. But he endured that hardship. He endured that suffering. Why? Because through it, he knew he was accomplishing your salvation, the eternal salvation and glory and blessing of you here, of us, but also of countless others throughout all of human history. The book of Hebrews, it says what? That Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and scorning its shame. So that even as he went to that cross, even as he suffered, there was joy because he saw you and me with him forever. So Paul says, remember Jesus. He's our example of endurance leading to something beautiful and wonderful and eternal. And part of what it means then to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, it means embracing hardship or difficulty for him. Because we are united with him, we may suffer for our faith. Just this morning, we prayed for a young man in Qatar. He and countless others around this world endure hardship for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I know for us then, we too must be willing to endure hardship. You know, if I might say, hardship though is not when somebody sits in the chair you always sit in on Sunday morning, is it? Folks, do we have anything to complain about enduring hardship? Now, we may become outcasts. We might be insulted. People might not like us. They might say some rude things to us. But do we endure hardship like many of our brothers and sisters do around this world? No, not at all, do we? So remember Jesus. Remember that being a follower of Jesus means being willing to endure hardship. Paul suffered for Christ. How did he suffer? Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us there. And he says these things not because he's bragging about them, but he's saying these things because he needs to defend his authority as an apostle against false teachers in the church at Corinth, who are looking to undermine him, undermine his authority as an apostle, and more importantly then, undermine the gospel message. So he must assert that authority. And so here he talks then about, somewhat reluctantly, how he has suffered for Christ. And he says, I'm talking like a madman here, but how he has suffered with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Think about that. Countless beatings, often near death. We know about one account in the book of Acts where that was true, but he says, often near death from that. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked. We know about one time there in Acts. It says 3 he was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Isn't that interesting? That's the last thing he mentions, is that daily anxiety, that pressure he feels of his love and concern for all the churches. I think for Paul, that was the hardest thing of it all. Not that other stuff, it was that. But he embraced all of that willingly. Why? Because of his love for Christ and what? And Jesus' love for him. And he embraced all of that because he knew that it was accomplishing a grand and glorious and beautiful eternal purpose. Well, what was that? Well, it was the salvation of many. That even though the apostle was bound, he was in chains. He says, I am in chains, but the Word of God cannot be bound. You can't put chains on the Word of God, can you? Now, you can try to deny it, you can try to snuff it out, but if God has purposes and plans for His Word, can anyone or anything stop it or bind the Word of God? No, absolutely not. Paul was bound, but God's Word is not. See, because nothing or no one can stop God's Word from accomplishing its purpose. See, we said what? The Word of God is living and active. And when God sends it, nothing will stop it from accomplishing its purpose. Just a note here on this is sometimes when we say that God's Word, that it will not return to me void without accomplishing that for which I sent it. That means that there are times when God specifically sends His Word, and His Word may be through you. As you read it, as you proclaim it, it may be as a person picks up a Bible in a hotel room or picks up a Bible that maybe a relative's home, or maybe it's their own that they haven't read in an awfully long time, right? When God sends that Word, it is living, it is active, it's powerful, nothing can stop it. And one of the great purposes of God's Word, the reason why He sends it, says it will not return to me void without accomplishing for what I send it. What would you say is one of the chief missions God sends His Word out to do? To save people. To save people. To convict them of their sin. To show them the truth that is in the Lord Jesus. To believe in Him. And God does that by sending forth His Word. God calls people out to salvation. And out there are people, and God knows them, God knows their hearts. There are people who will believe. And when that Word of God goes out there, they will believe because God has sent forth that Word to do that, to bring them to salvation. The Scripture here speaks of these folks. Who are these folks who will believe when God's Word goes forth? Well, the Scripture calls them the elect, the ones God has chosen and called to come to Himself. Now, this raises the question, I know, and we're not going to address that all here this morning, okay? Remember, I said, Scripture makes it very clear that before there was anything, God already had chosen people to come to Him, to believe in Him. And we can have debates and arguments in the Scripture about exactly how that works and the relationship between God's sovereignty and human choice. And wherever you may fall on that, that's fine. I just encourage you to prayerfully study through that, arrive at your convictions, and then lovingly respect one another on that matter, wherever you may come. But Scripture is clear, though, that before there was anything, God already knew those who would believe. He knew them and loved them. And at some point in time, He sends forth His Word. Oftentimes through human messengers like you and me, or Paul or Timothy. And no matter what our circumstances may be, His Word can't be bound. It will accomplish the purpose for which God sends it. And He saves people. So, why was Paul willing to endure this suffering? Because he knew that even if he was bound, God's Word is not bound. It's going to continue to go out there, and it's going to bring people to salvation and eternal glory in Christ. And for that, he was willing to suffer. He was willing to endure, just as Christ did, following his example. You know, I love there's a passage in the book of Acts, Acts 18, verse 10. And there, Paul was experiencing some hardship, some opposition in the city of Corinth. But I love what the Lord says to him. He encourages Paul, he encourages him to continue in what he is doing. And he says what? For I have many people in this city. Meaning what? That there were many people who were going to come to believe in him in that city. Paul didn't know who they were. He said, Paul, you keep preaching. You endure, because I have many people in this city. They're not saved right now, but they're going to be. How many of you believe that God has people in Wonder Lake? That they don't believe right now, but they're going to believe. And whatever you may think, again, about sovereignty and human responsibility, come to your own conclusions and convictions about that. But I guarantee you, well, I shouldn't guarantee you. Let me say, I think it's very, very likely that God has a lot of people, a good number of people, right here in Wonder Lake. And He calls you and me then to be faithful to proclaim His Word. Because His Word cannot be bound. We may feel bound, not by chains, like physical chains. We may feel bound in some ways, but God's Word is never bound. And God's going to save every one of them out there by the power of His Word. Everyone who will believe, will believe. And nothing will stop God's Word from doing that. Love what He says then. But these words here of a faithful Savior. Paul was bound, but the Word of God is not unbound. And we have a faithful Savior. Here he says then again, verse 11. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we will also reign with Him. We will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. What is this trustworthy saying? You know, there's here and then a number of other passages in Scripture there where it refers to a trustworthy saying. What is that? Well, this was probably some kind of a statement of some kind of a summation of doctrinal belief. And it is thought that perhaps that what this is here is this was a statement that might have been accompanied in a process of a ceremony of baptism, that as someone was being baptized, that these words would be read or spoken. He says it is a trustworthy saying. It is true that what if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. Meaning what? That if we have died with Christ, we will also live with Him. We will have eternal life and share in the resurrection. You see, when you put your trust in Christ, Scripture says you are united with Him by faith. You are in Christ. And so Christ's life, his death and his resurrection, it's all credited to you through faith in him. That if you trust in him as he was holy, you now are holy in him. As he suffered and was judged for sin, no sin he ever committed, it was ours, right? As he suffered and died for sin, so too your sin was judged and punished in him. As he died and rose again, you and I spiritually, we died and will rise with him. So if we died with him, and you did by faith, we will also live with him. You will rise with him. Just as he rose, you will arise. Then he says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. That just as he suffered and he endured through that and is now ruling and reigning, so too us, when we endure with him, we too will reign with him forever and ever on the new earth. But then a little word of warning, followed by a message, I believe, of some comfort, though, too. You know, Scripture has lots of wonderful words of comfort and encouragement, doesn't it? But it also has some words of warning in there for us, too. And I think there's a word of warning here when it says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. I think this is a reference to the fact, I wish it weren't true, but we see it in Scripture, and we certainly see it around us, that it happens around us in our churches. That sometimes there are folks who just one day will turn away, deny the faith, deny Christ, apostatize, or apostate, fall away from the faith. And so sometimes some folks have some different views about what exactly is, who are the folks who do this and why are they doing that, what is happening here. But as I understand the Scriptures, that there are folks who profess faith in Christ, maybe even give, it seems, some kind of external evidence of that from our view or our perspective, but at some point then they turn away from that and they deny Christ. And Christ says, those who deny him, he will also deny them. And I think this is a reference to the fact that there are some folks who appear to be saved and they're not. And they walk away from Christ. And Jesus will say to them, not, you know, I once knew you, but then you denied me, so I took away your salvation. No, so he says, I never knew you. So there are folks then that Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a stern warning for us. Scripture encourages us to examine our faith, right? But then here's a word of comfort. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You know, there are apostates who were never truly saved. But there's also some folks who are weak. Is anybody here weak? Yeah. We're not always faithful to him, are we? But even if we are faithful, that is what, if we are weak and we're disobedient and we fall into sin, he's not going to cast you away. You see, because you belong, you're his child. And he cannot, you are a part of him, and he cannot deny himself. So even if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. You, if your faith is in Jesus, you're his child, and you are a part of him, the body of Christ, and he cannot deny himself. Now, I don't say this to encourage us to go out and be sinful and to be disobedient to him, because this doesn't mean that if we are walking in rebellion against him, that there aren't consequences, because there are, aren't there? The consequences of the sin itself, the consequences of the discipline in our lives, and we may even forfeit eternal reward because of it. So I'm not encouraging us to do this. But I think it does say then to you and me that when we are weak and we fail and we are, he will never turned you away or cast you out. And that's hopeful for us to know. Because we have hope. We have eternal hope in Him. I'm going to bring us back to something, a little challenge. You don't have to raise your hands here on this one, but I gave you a challenge here, a little homework assignment, to be read through 2 Timothy, and just as you read through there, to put down some lessons or principles about spiritual maturity and spiritual leadership in there. I hope you're doing that. But I want to just take a moment here to say, you know, there is so much rich truth in this for us. And so to help us, I think, in this assignment here, here are some things that I see in this passage about spiritually maturing persons, that spiritually maturing persons remember Christ. That is, they look to Him for the example. They endure hardship for Christ. They persevere in Christ. They remain faithful in Him. And then, too, they rest in Christ because He is faithful, even if we're not always faithful. He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. So let us look to Him, remember Him. Let us endure hardship for Him. Let us persevere or continue in the faith in Him. And then let us also, though, rest in Him, rest in His faithfulness to us. Well, so what? Well, I take us back to where we started here and remind us of this. Following the example of Jesus, we can endure hardship for the sake of those who will believe as we proclaim the unbound Word of God and rest in our hope in Jesus. So I would say, what should we do? Endure for Christ. Endure for Christ. And rest. Rest in Christ. When we endure, is it by our own strength and power and resources? It's God's power in us, isn't it? So we endure by His power in us, and then we rest by His power in us. And He gets all the glory, doesn't He? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, that we may be called to endure hardship. Some of us have already endured a lot of hardship for the sake of Your name, Lord Jesus. And we thank You, Lord, that You are faithful to us, that You know these things, You know all things. Lord, may we endure for You, Lord Jesus. May we be faithful to proclaim Your word, which can never be bound. It can never be stopped. It can never fail to accomplish the mission or the purpose which You have for it. So may we be faithful to proclaim. May we endure in Christ, and may we rest in Him and in His grace. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.